Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the second and final season of God Friended Me.
In a way, I'm very disappointed it's the final season.
I am. I thought they had enough concept and stuff to keep going. I think they clearly had plans to go further. This was a 22-episode season, which is impressive given the COVID-19 pandemic shutting down a lot of TV productions.
Well, and they were one of the ones shut down by it.
They had filmed 5 days worth of stuff on that 22nd episode, and I don't know when they had filmed versus when they got word of, okay, we're just going to pull the plug on it. And I don't know why the plug was pulled. I don't know if it was ratings, if it was something else, or just what. But throughout the... We'll get to the whole season stuff. I want to start with, since it's fresh, I was going to say start with the ending.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is I really think this is a show that should not have been canceled. Because just starting with the premise of the show, I think it's one that lends itself to creating new material during the pandemic.
I think it would have been fascinating if they had done a episode where Rakesh and Miles and Kara are all in their own place and they're having to do stuff remotely.
Yeah.
Can you help somebody as a stranger through social media?
Yes. I think there were lots of openings for that. And frankly, I think they could have done lots of very interesting episodes where the only version we're getting is the podcast.
Well, yeah, I think this is something if they wanted to continue it in some way in a podcast form, they could.
I think it could be fascinating.
It's one where when they started this season, they had introduced Joy as potentially the replacement person who gets the friend suggestions. That lasted about 6 or 7 episodes, and then they kind of rotated it back. They had Kara over in
Paris
originally and stuff. I mean, they covered a lot of ground this season.
They did.
And there were a couple of times where we would get callbacks of, geez, we need a lawyer. Oh, yeah, there's the two guys we helped. They can do this,
yeah.
You know?
Wouldn't it be nice if we knew a cop? Oh, wait, we helped the meter maid. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we knew a PI? Oh, wait, we helped one.
And sometimes it was just a name drop. Other times we actually saw those people. And yeah. I loved that sense of community they'd built up.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of aspects of questioning of faith. Can you get your faith back? And things like that. And what I love about this show is they talk about religious topics without getting kind of overtly religious and preaching.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating given the name of the show, God Friended Me. The dichotomy of the lead character being an atheist and his father now the Bishop of New York.
Yeah, for the Episcopalians.
Yeah, there's a lot of avenues that they could have brought in, a lot of Bible thumping if they had wanted to. But instead, they talked about religion as a concept and as a force of people doing the right thing for the right reasons and things like that without getting too really at all entrenched in any particular religion. Granted, again, the Episcopalians we see, but even that, the fact that they're Episcopalians wasn't kind of that big of a deal.
Yeah. Well, their focus really was on doing good, on helping others, and kind of on how good you feel when you help others.
Mm-hmm. It was about being kind of the good Samaritan versus being a good member of any particular religion.
Yeah.
And I think having the central character being an atheist worked for that.
Mm-hmm.
There was, of course, a lot of who's behind the God account and stuff. And they were getting it towards the point near the end where Miles was, does it really matter?
Yeah.
And when I'd heard that this was going to end, with this season, at that point we had like 5 left to watch, which we just went through this evening, I was thinking, can they land the ending? And I think that would have been easier to do 2-3 seasons from now,
mm-hmm.
where they could have really wound down the constant search for it and just gotten to where it's been such a part of their lives of just helping people that it becomes second nature.
Yeah.
And they almost don't realize, oh yeah, I didn't actually get a friend suggest. I just saw this person's, you know, Facebook page and decided to help them or something.
Well, and they kind of implied that in the final episode on the subway. They're riding the subway, yeah. The train jerks to a halt. It's not that they have a friend request, it's that they realize, wait, the guy up in the engineering compartment might be injured, might need help.
They've been in enough of these sort of situations, it's second nature to go help people.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised, because at first Miles gets knocked to the ground, and it seems, well, does he have a concussion kind of a thing? And that kind of got dropped.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the original plan for this episode, because there may have been a few more in the season after this. I forget if it was 24 episodes last season or what.
I was thinking they had planned this to be a 24-episode season and had gotten the word of just finish the episode you're doing. Depending how things go, this is a 2-week hold.
Yeah.
But if things don't get back to normal in 2 weeks, then that was your last episode of the season.
So, assuming they had 2 more episodes, they may have had a little bit of a subplot where maybe this would have ended on, you know, Miles having a concussion and then discovering it as he collapses or something, gets into the next episode or something.
Yeah.
Whether that was their plan or not, I don't know, but it was one of those things that they've had forward progression on character arcs, on plot line, on the mystery, while playing fair with the, how many times have we thought we're almost to solving who's got the God account, and we're not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it may be that one of the decision factors for why this doesn't continue was they're filming out in open environments, which in a pandemic and post-pandemic world is going to be harder to do.
In New York City.
In New York City, with extras.
Lots of them.
And that's something that this isn't something that you could just turn into kind of a bottle show.
Yeah.
Where you've only got a handful of people or something. It's, I think, something that has some inherent challenges. And if it was like the top-rated show on TV, they'd figure out how to make it work. But it probably isn't. I mean, I know it's not the top-rated show. It's probably not enough to continue with, unfortunately.
I'll be honest, one of the things that kept running through my mind throughout this season having to do with one of the character relationships, because I've encountered it and been aware of it with other shows, we've got a black lead doing a really great job.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite a white female lead doing a good job. They decide to have a romance between this black man and this white woman. And that's going well until suddenly that gets derailed. Now, on other shows I watch, I've been aware of campaigns online and letter writing campaigns saying, we don't want to watch an interracial relationship.
Man, I'd really like to think that as a society, both in terms of the U.S. and just kind of planetary wide, we're past that.
So would I.
I don't know that we are, unfortunately.
The way their relationship got broken up felt so contrived and annoying to me.
Let me put this question out there of assuming they were of the same, you know, ethnicity, race, whatever. In other words, it's not that.
Yeah.
Would this not follow the same basic trajectory of most shows where you've got two leads that are a romantic interest? Are they together? Are they not? They get together, they split up. They get together, they split up. Just to keep kind of that back and forth kind of thing going.
But this went from they're together to they can't even flirt.
To me, that was an aspect of the decision to have Miles help Kara's stepfather do the right thing, which gets him sent to jail for a while. It gets her upset. Then it's the, does he have to choose the God account over her? She feels he does. So to me, that's the kind of relationship hijinks a lot of shows kind of go through.
I guess my point is, I think if they were both black or they were both white, they would have done that episode differently so that they would have been a team dealing with her stepfather and been on the same page and come out stronger at that point, even if they broke up later.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know that I think that's the case. I think they were figuring these two are meant to be together, but the premise point of the God account is that wedge between them. They trying to come back together and then pulled apart or whatever. So I think that would have happened regardless of casting.
Hmm. Okay.
I could be wrong on that. Yeah. But I'd like to think that's the case. And there were a couple of characters that would come in, be a big deal, and then just kind of fade away here and there. The girlfriend for Allie kind of came and went a little. And part of it is that's a subplot, and they're not going to be able to address every subplot every episode.
Well, I tend to joke that there are some writers that can only handle a certain number of characters. And if there's more than, say, 8 characters being used in the script,
well,
they can't handle it.
I think Numbers was the show that really put that in practice, where you've got, it's a police procedural around math, of all things.
Yeah.
But they had a core group of like 4 cops. I forget if that included the math guy or not. But anyways, when one of the cops was out, they would bring in a guest star. When a guest star came in, one of the cops would go out, kind of a thing.
If you had either a DEA agent visiting or an FBI agent visiting or anything of that sort, you could guarantee one of the cops happened to be out for training or something of that sort.
Which I would have been more okay with if they'd occasionally gone to math training just to keep up with Charlie.
Yeah.
But that's Numbers, which is a great show.
Yes.
Here, there were a couple of times where the premise point is if they get stuck, the phone buzzes and here's our next clue.
Yeah.
Which is a little cliche, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
There were one or two episodes where I felt one or two things just kind of sort of happened without the God Accounts intervention. I'm thinking the bounty hunter.
Mm, yeah.
Where the bounty hunter that happens to get involved to go chase down the friend request because he skipped court happened to be from the same foster family, you know, 20, 30 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Just didn't realize it at the time because, well, the guy she was going after was, you know, a 1-year-old at the time. Who could recognize him? So I don't think it would have taken much for a line or two of dialogue to have gotten her into the story through the God Account intervention, or if even we had seen her in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somebody Miles recognizes, oh no, that's going to be trouble. She's a bounty hunter. She's going to go after this guy. We've got to get him first.
Yeah.
Even that would have worked.
Yeah.
And they had enough times where, again, they did the callbacks to previous friend suggestions
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that they've done that. And this was a place where I felt they really should have.
Well, and I think one of the places they did that in an interesting way was with Rose and Fremont.
Yeah, that was an episode waiting to happen, although it wasn't obvious until it did that it was a great idea, which is basically everyone he helps, you know, reunite two people or whatever. If they'd been dating somebody else, you're kind of ripping apart some other couple. For every good he's doing, is there a corresponding bad to somebody else?
Yeah.
It also played with the idea of, well, I'm your friend's suggestion. I followed your podcast. You have to help me. And I think you have to help me this way.
Yeah. I did not care for that character.
I'm wondering if that character would have come back next season, if there were a next season.
Mm.
How is he doing? How did it work out? And then kind of, again, pass the baton, you know, if because the guy winds up being a stand-up comedian, in a third season, they'd found themselves at a comedy club, and lo and behold, the guy comes up, talks to him afterwards, what's going on? Oh, I think I can help, you know.
Yeah.
The beauty of this premise is it allows for those kinds of interconnectedness that would be hard to do in a regular show without being, God, what are the odds of that?
Yes.
I mean, they even had comments of, well, I know with the God Account, we can't really say what are the odds, but what are the odds?
Yes.
You know, they acknowledge the absurdity almost of the premise point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was hoping they would be able to land the ending, knowing it would be challenging. Do we get an answer for, you know, who's behind the God Account? Not having realized, of course, that they were 5 days into this final episode, and then it's a, well, crap, how do we end it?
Yeah.
By the time they realized the season was ending, or the series was ending, not just the season. And I gotta say, kudos for them for pulling off as tight of an episode as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, do I think they landed the ending? No, not entirely, but sufficiently and amazingly so given the circumstances.
Yes. Well, and it was clear that the script that they were working from was built to lead into a season 3.
Yes. And it was also clear from the opening of that final episode where we've got Miles on the snow-covered, you know, Himalayas with a, you know, this is a year from now. Well, let me tell you how it first started in a voiceover, as if we're listening to the podcast, which I'm thinking, and you were too, oh, well, they could have done the podcast and changed those dialogue points after they realized they got to wrap it up. Okay, fine. Of course, that begged the question of, where did they get this footage of him in the Himalayas? How did this play into the story originally? Turns out it was unused footage from the pilot.
Yeah.
Now, these guys behind the scenes were clever in use and reuse of footage, pulling that from the pilot where it wasn't used. Brilliant masterstroke, because as far as I was concerned, it's new footage. When we get to the end, and it's a, well, here's what happened after Ali's surgery and such, and we start getting the, well, we got back together, this happened, that happened. They're reusing footage from previous episodes to kind of, I don't say replay or whatever, the romance between Miles and Kara and such, or Rakesh and Jaya. But they also intercut with clips of kind of those magic moments of the couple getting together, the reunion of, you know, that was a key point in past episodes, and really kind of highlighting everything that had happened over the 2 years.
Yeah.
And to be able to reuse that kind of footage to tie it all together so well with a really good voiceover. I mean, credit to them for trying to, under incredibly challenging circumstances, pull together a sense of closure for the series as well as they did.
Yeah.
Now, when it turns out at the end, Miles is met by some kid of, oh, yes, she's waiting, follow me, and they go walk off. I mean, clearly that was going to be, well, I was going to say clearly it was going to be part of a third season, but they put this in knowing it was the end and used unused footage from the pilot. So that part left me a little wanting.
Yeah.
Even if it had been, I guess what would have worked better for me is they walk off. If we'd had another 10 or 15 seconds of dialogue of, yeah, and then I met her, and man, let me tell you that story. There was some kind of tailing dialogue that could have happened there.
Yeah.
As if he's finishing off this episode, but yep, that's for the next episode. And they could have actually done, at some point, a really good audio-only episode.
Yeah. I think what they showed in that final episode through the voiceovers was that they could do some compelling podcasts as episodes.
Well, and apparently they've had discussions on doing that. And I think that, particularly over the next 6 months to a year, there's a window of opportunity there as it takes time for Hollywood to spin back up television and movie production.
Yeah.
That really, to do a good podcast for this,
yeah,
you need the writers.
Yes.
You need the lead actor.
Yeah.
And some really good audio technicians. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have a few other people, you know, do clips on the thing if you want to, whatever, but the gotta haves, it really boils down to a very finite set.
Yeah.
And this is something that could easily be filmed under social distancing and even stay-at-home kind of constraints.
Yeah.
And granted, those are starting to get lifted in many places, but I was happy with the episodes during the season. I was happy with the arc. I could have been happier with the ending, but again, I'm willing to cut them a little bit of slack, just given the suddenness of the decision, where they were at in the process, and just the state of production in the world at that point.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff from the first season had been dropped in terms of the rich guy over there. We got some of it the first couple of episodes in Paris.
Yeah, we got a little of it in the beginning, and then he took on someone else whose life he had ruined to take over the book, and Kara came back.
Yeah, but that was a good 6-7 episode arc where we got Joy as the pseudo replacement. She comes back a time or two later, but it was almost like that first part was its own little mini season, and then we're kind of back to the regular course of events, if you will.
Well, and we met the person who was Miles before Miles.
Yeah. Well, and I like how they seem to have planned out the season such that by teasing a successor to Miles, it opens the door to a predecessor to Miles. That then set up the scene for what was going to cause the break with Kara and, you know, the dominoes falling.
Yeah.
It never felt like they were at a loss for where they were going. there seemed to be a game plan. There seemed to be a, you know, let's toss these, you know, clues out there to get seemingly closer to who's behind the God account. And I felt that by the end, we knew where the original algorithm came from.
Yeah.
We know it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know by who or how. But we got enough progress.
Yeah.
That I don't feel that it's just this magic, you know, unknown thing. Nor do I feel it was kind of what we got in Person of Interest. Oh, it's the lead computer guy. He wrote the whole thing, and we just get a little backstory here as to how it got loose and why it's got these limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And those usually came in kind of just drops in particular pivotal episodes. Here, we got things, constant movement on this
mm-hmm.
over the course of really all the entire run of the show.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of times where one or two of the characters, like Trish, just weren't there.
Yeah, and a few times when they weren't there in scenes they should have been in.
And again, I'm okay with them not being there if you just had a, they couldn't come because.
Yeah.
You know, a simple line of dialogue to at least acknowledge, yeah, they would have been there if they could have been.
Yeah.
And then the whole build-up to Trish getting the medical power of attorney during Allie's surgery, and it never really being needed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of times where the writing on this show is tugging at the heartstrings, playing the emotional beats pretty blatantly,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. It's a feel-good emotional kind of a show. But there are also other times where the plot is such that, yep, that's going to be the friend request. That friend's going to be the daughter of this person. This is going to be the twist. As they're giving you that key thing to foreshadow, it telegraphs.
Yeah.
On one of those episodes, I was starting to think there is a show or maybe a movie, a comedy movie, that would be basically kind of like Psych.
Mm-hmm.
Except you've got somebody from our world getting trapped in a world that follows television narration conventions.
That's funny. Yeah.
Where the person immediately recognizes this is a sitcom situation, so the solution is this. This is a procedural. The solution is this. It's a medical drama. This is going to be the...
Yeah.
Just they know the rules of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a show, like most television shows, that you watch enough of it, you get a feel for the rhythm of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing.
Well, there was a lot of adoption and fostering.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, in the second half of the season, there was a lot of being selfish.
Well, when we found out the one guy who skipped court had gone through the foster system and hadn't worked out well, they played fair. It was pretty obvious from the way the bounty hunter was reacting that she'd gone through it and it worked out better for her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she went through it and it worked out better for her later. Ah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, they went through the same house at one point. Well, okay, that's coincidental, but that's part of the show.
Yeah.
Every show has its own internal logic.
Mm-hmm.
Any good show. There's yeah. some where it's like, what the hell? And that's how you can tell, for lack of any better term, kind of bad writing. When everything in the show is pushing in a certain direction and they do a sharp left counter to everything that is the nature of that show.
Yeah.
It would be as if you're watching a Star Trek show, and instead of the technobabble, you literally get a wizard showing up, waving a magic wand, and poof, that solves the problem. You know, and it not being just advanced tech.
Yeah.
So again, I'm disappointed the show is ending. I do think there would be some challenges keeping it going, but I think a lot of those challenges are going to be faced by pretty much, to some degree, every other show on the air.
Yeah. I mean, from what I'm seeing in various articles, we're going to be seeing fewer big group scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a show that was big on go down to the subway station, search the crowd for the one person we need.
Well, go to the subway, search the crowd. The subway accident kind of thing had a ton of people.
Yeah.
The wedding rehearsal had a ton.
Yeah.
Trying to think, there are a couple other huge crowd scenes we'd seen a number of times.
Yeah. And things like that, they're just going to start shrinking that down to, I was going to say, bite-sized crowds. But the other thing that we did when I was a production assistant, and we actually got called out on, was when our extras budget was gone and we couldn't afford them, they started throwing crew members in as extras.
I have read some stuff, I think on Variety, where it's saying that may start to become the norm.
Yeah, I think so.
Where if you've already got these people on set.
Exactly.
You may as well use them. Because, I mean, how many times do we go to like a diner or a restaurant and the place is packed?
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people just eating in the background and stuff. That's harder to do if you're worried about, yeah, are we going to spread some pandemic or something?
Yeah. And there are a lot of crew members that are not actively working while the scene is being shot.
Yeah.
Their work is done to set up for the shooting of the scene.
Well, and again, the on-location aspect of this show produces a certain amount of challenges in terms of you've got to scout the location, mm-hmm. you've got to make the location, you know, safe, and that's above and beyond everything you had to do already.
Some articles are saying some shows want to start avoiding location shooting and only doing soundstage shooting whenever possible.
I was reading one article that was saying that they were already scoping out empty warehouse spaces and big box stores
mm-hmm.
that have the space to be doing production.
Yeah.
Because they're going to run out of studio space.
Well, up in Round Rock, the baseball diamond,
mm-hmm.
during the off season, that was used for the spinoff from Walking Dead. And they built a town inside the baseball diamond.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you're driving around outside, you can't really see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But people flew drones up over it, and they could see down inside this decaying town inside. Well,
there are some shows that are easier to do, or are geared towards doing on a set.
Mm-hmm.
And where you're going out and about town. I mean, how many times do we see, you know, there was the one where it starts with them having gotten coffee and some... Fries at a food truck as they're scoping out this one place. Well, Miles goes off one way, Kara goes off the other, and we're watching Rakesh as Kara goes walking about a block or two down.
Yeah.
You know, I think if the pandemic hadn't happened, this show probably would have continued. At least another season. If it got another season, it probably would have gone another one after that. No guarantee.
Yeah, yeah. But more likely.
But I think it's definitely more likely, and I think it is a unique enough show. It's a shame it didn't get that chance to continue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one that I think is likely to get continued in like a comic book format, as we've seen with Buffy and Jericho and a number of other shows.
Yeah.
Again, the podcast avenue would be interesting.
I think it's a natural for it, and it was a great show for sparking conversation, and the interesting thing was it wasn't necessarily sparking conversation about religion, which is what I think some people would assume.
It would be interesting to see 5 or 10 years from now, a reunion 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Where is Miles at that point? What was behind the God account? It's just they're catching up with somebody.
Yeah.
And just kind of filling them in or whatever.
Actually, what would be interesting in that respect for a reunion would be for all the people that have been helped because of the God account to have created a private group on Facebook and for them to decide to host a party to thank Miles and Kara and Rakesh.
Kind of a 10-year anniversary of the podcast and everyone who's been impacted.
Yeah.
That would be fascinating. Because if you went that way, you could do kind of the testimonial scenes of, well, I met Miles at this point and kind of, you know, with a couple of cuts here of what happened and
mm-hmm.
get the thumbnail of what their episode would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton they could do with that.
Yeah.
That would be a fascinating way to go. Because I do feel there was a lot more to this story, not just the who was actually behind the God account. I mean, I would like an answer to that, but I like the idea of there being a show out there, and it's not the first of its type, where people go out, have a little extra knowledge and do the right thing.
Yeah.
Help people out. Early Edition was a similar premise. I'm sure there are 3 or 4 other shows if I thought about
it. Well, you mentioned Person of Interest, which in the early days when that's what they were doing.
Before it got self-involved.
Yes.
And that's something I think this show would have avoided, is turning to where it was only about the God account and not about helping people.
Yeah.
That's where I felt Person of Interest, which was a great show, I felt it kind of lost its way on that.
Yeah.
So, again, surprised it is ending after second season.
Disappointed.
Disappointed. Overall, it was a good season. I don't think there were any particularly bad episodes.
No, I was trying to think if I had any particular favorites. I mean, I liked the one when Joy came back to New York and ended up helping the family who had an adopted daughter who wanted to run away and meet the ancestry DNA match.
That was a good episode.
It really was.
And one that gave payoff for the initial who's Joy and why is she here?
Yeah.
Arc.
And there was a really good scene at the end.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there are any other highlights. To me, it's a fairly even show. There have been a couple of other shows where it's like, oh, it was a good season, but man, that one episode, wow, that was so much better than the others in some ways.
Yeah.
This one, I don't think had as many peaks and valleys.
If a person was going to watch only one episode from this season, selfishly, I would recommend they watch the episode with Amy Acker, because for once in her career, she plays a totally normal, no superheroes involved, no crazy involved character, and she rocks it.
I was surprised she was used because, again, she's headlined other shows. The Gifted, Angel for a while. She was in Dollhouse. She's done a ton of stuff. And this was just an extra. Not an extra, but, you know, a guest of the week.
Yeah.
You know, and she's I don't say a higher caliber actor, but you know what I mean, a bigger name than they usually get for that kind of role.
She's the one that if this were a police procedural type one, I'd have pointed at her name and said she did it.
Don't know what the crime is yet, but she's it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What surprised me was that she didn't come back later.
Agreed. But I loved seeing her come out and totally rock a totally normal character.
This is the kind of role that we've been thinking Summer Glau needs to take.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody who's not crazy, who's not supernatural, superpowered, whatever, just regular kind of person.
Yeah.
Because even with Amy Acker, her role in The Gifted, which was the token human among the mutants, was still an over-the-top, aggressive kind of situation.
Yeah.
And
here she pulled out both the professional side and the very caring maternal side.
Yeah. It was a good story.
It really was, yeah.
It was one of those where I think it was pretty clear this girl is going to be related to the doctor, but not in the way we think. It's going to have this twist. It was one that we saw the plot twists coming.
Part of
but
it
didn't make it a lesser episode because of it.
Very true. But part of why we saw the plot twists coming was because of Allie being in there and certain other things layered on top of the breadcrumbs they gave us.
Yeah. Well, but also having the Allie connection of it being, you know, one of her doctors or whatever, added to the subplot of Miles isn't doing what he would normally do. Because he's got a personal stake in it.
Well, and they played with that several times this season.
Mm-hmm.
When it was Kara's stepfather, and he didn't want to risk the relationship with Kara. When it was Allie, and it was, you know, are you doing things differently because it's your sister?
Well, I would say the other kind of highlight episode in that respect was the flip side of the Times Square episode.
Mm-hmm.
You ruined my life.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen, if you understand the premise of the show, you can understand the, oh, he's done all this great stuff. Here's the other side of that.
I would say you definitely should have watched Rose and Fremont's episode.
Absolutely.
Before seeing that one. And I don't recall when that, well, that episode was early this season because it had a Paris connection.
And I think Joy might have been involved in that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I would definitely make sure that one's fresh in your mind when you see that one. But I gotta say, I spent half that episode hating Trevor.
So did I.
And part of the point that episode successfully made was Miles isn't in it to help people he likes. It isn't about whether or not he likes the person.
He's trying to do the right thing because it's the right thing, not because it's just, well, this is somebody you'd like anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting point to make.
Well, there have been a couple where the person he's helping is more challenging to help than others.
Yeah.
And I think there's more they could have done in that direction. Because I think if they'd gone another season, we'd have gotten some where, as we were starting to get here, while I follow the podcast, I know the rules of this.
Yeah.
And you'd have others that it's like, I don't want you anywhere near me.
Yeah.
But more than they just yell at him and tell him to go away. I mean, they almost needed to do one where he's trying to help a lawyer or a judge or somebody who gets a restraining order against him.
I actually, if they'd had a third season, I was hoping they would bring back the judge who wouldn't drop the failure to appear charges against Russell, I guess his name was.
Yeah, the one guy, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to see that guy who was such a hard guy need help.
If they'd gone to a third season, that episode I think would have been revisited because we'd have gotten past the 6-month point for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have gotten some kind of connection. And I respect that the writers tried to give us, I don't want to say closure on everything, but it wasn't just one done and forgotten.
Well, they tried to give us a sense that what these characters were doing mattered and helping others matters.
Well, and that these characters that they helped had lives afterwards.
Yes.
Again, Rose and Fremont, you know, coming back and stuff. The window washer guy coming back.
Well, when they were editing this, they knew, I would think, they knew they were shut down for the 2 weeks. They were editing it throughout those 2 weeks. They were probably wrapping up editing as they were realizing we're not getting to go back into production on anything.
Mm-hmm. They were probably figuring out, okay, if we're going to get back into production, what do we need to finish this out? How can we get that to where it's just a day or two and go? And then, like you said, yeah, realizing we're not going to get that. How much time? What can we cut? What can we pull? How can we turn this into a finale?
So with that thinking in mind, they may well have been realizing it was going to air while the pandemic was either still going on or very fresh in people's memories.
Mm-hmm.
No way to know for sure. But when you consider the very uplifting message that closing monologue had.
It was essentially a glorified everybody lived happily ever after.
But it was very much a community matters.
Mm-hmm.
Helping those around you matters. Being concerned about those around you matters. It was a very good message.
It's as close as I've seen to what's happened in a couple of comic books where somebody who's been doing a run on a title has it cut out, you know, from under them before they turn in that final script. There was one run, I think it was James Robinson's run on Justice League or JLA. It was the Justice League of America, whatever title it was going under the day, where the final episode or issue was almost a series of splash pages of what the arcs he wanted to tell would have been.
Yeah, nice.
You know, it was a little unfulfilling as a comic episode. But here, where we get the voiceover, where we get the, and this is what happened to them.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of the movies where you got the, as we're getting close to the end credits, the here's a shot of so-and-so, and oh, they lived happily ever after, or they were in jail till this long, or, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of the thumbnail rest of the story for that character.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that here, I think, gives it a sense of closure. And that's, again, where I go back to, I think, Miles on the Mountaintop, they could have given it another line or two of dialogue to make me realize, I know I'm not getting the full story, but we're pausing this.
Yeah.
If they want to come up to it, or maybe we're not ready for it, something.
Yeah.
That was the one part of the ending that was a little unsatisfying. Overall, it ended, like you said, on a positive note with a variation on how everybody lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
Which was a nice note to end on. But again, sad they had to end.
Yes, very.
So anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.